Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1, we're continuing our study on John the Baptist. And our text for today is John chapter 1, verse 11. But we'll start at verse 6. "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not." But let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to preach and to teach and believe and obey the Word of God. Help us to be disciples, and help us to serve you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking at verse 11, "He came into his own, and his own received him not." And last week I began to go through 7 points while studying this verse. My point 4 was that the Gentile believers, or Christians, aren't circumcised in the flesh, but in the heart. And I said that we'd pick it up at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30, and let's do that. Jesus is speaking. He said, "You have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." And truly, that was one of the 10 commandments. You can read them in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Hey, don't do it with somebody else's wife. That's what the text says. And he said, "You've heard that. You've read it. You've heard it taught all your life. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Again, it's one thing to say, "Thou shalt not do thus and so," but Jesus is trying to get at the heart. You can keep the law and not actually have sex with someone else. Okay, you've kept the law, but you can lust every day of your life. And that's what Jesus is talking about. We said last time that we follow God by faith, and that us Gentiles, us Christians, us that are not Jews, we don't have the 10 commandments and the Levitical laws and etc. to follow, but we obey them not because we have to, but out of a heart of love and respect for God. He said, "If your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it away. For it is better or profitable for thee that one of your members, your eyeball, should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell." He didn't mean this literally. Only an idiot or a crazy person would pluck their eye out, or someone on drugs or something. But it's a radical thought that if your eye or your heart is lusting every day after women, you need to deal with your heart because you're in danger of hellfire. And so he uses this radical language, but he's really trying to get you to address the problems in your heart. And speaking of the heart, in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, one of the kings of Judah, Amaziah, it says he was 25 years old when he began to reign as king of Judah. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And it even mentions his mother's name. But it says that he did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. And I would encourage you to read Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. It's a lot of stuff. But he deals with motive. And he deals with idolatry and a number of different topics. But God wants us to follow him with our whole heart. But our text today in John chapter 1 is that he came into his own. Jesus, the King of the Jews, came to the Jews, and his own people, his own tribe, received him not. They didn't accept him. And of course, if you read the Gospels, and I said this, that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people that did accept. When he preached the Sermon on the Mount, which we just quoted, thousands of people, they accepted every word that he said. Some of it was hard. Some of it was difficult. But Scripture says that they heard him again and again and again. And even in one place, it talks about he was on the Sea of Galilee and he's going to go over to the other side. And we find the people running on the land around the lake. Well, where's he going to land? Where's he going to put in and step off that boat? We want to be there. Okay, fine, that's the common man. But the leadership, they rejected him. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the leadership rejected him. But the Jews lost their kingdom as they rejected God's laws and their Messiah. And this is a hard subject. Matthew chapter 23, and then 25, and a few other things. I wish I could read all the verses, and I can't. Just don't have the time. But in Matthew chapter 23, verse 29 through 39 is my text. Let's see what I can read. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets, and you garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." In other words, you go put flowers and what all, you know how we do it at cemeteries. You build their tombs, you make sure there's fresh flowers. But he said that the fact that you're doing this testifies that, hey, your fathers killed the prophets. Verse 33, "You serpents, you snakes, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" But listen to Jesus and his testimony, and God from heaven's view of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, Okay, I guess that includes judges. And some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you'll whip and beat in your synagogues, scourge, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From righteous Abel all the way to Zechariah, who you killed between the temple and the altar. Truly or verily I say unto you, all these things, these curses, shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you together as children, even as a chicken, a hen gathers her chicks up underneath her wings. I would have done it, but you didn't want. Behold, your house, your kingdom is left unto you desolate. But then he prophesies, after he pronounces the curse against the leadership and against the nation of Israel, he prophesies of the return, his return to the earth, and their return to him. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth. You won't see me no more till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And as we'll study, we'll see that that cry happens at the end of the great tribulation. I've said it before, I want to say it again. Christians have this set of blinders on, and all we see is, hey, we've got the New Testament, and hey, Jesus died for us, and that's true, and Jesus is coming back for us, and that's true, but they forget about the Jews. We forget about the Jews. And the Bible was written for Jews. And salvation, we said last time, is of the Jews. And the Great Tribulation, a lot of things happen. A lot of people study it. A lot of people get on TV and say what they think they know. But it's about the Jews. Eschatology, the study of last things, is about the return of Christ for the Jews. Remember when they crucified him, they put that sign above his head, said, this is the King of the Jews. And one day the King is coming back to sit on the throne in Jerusalem again, to sit on the throne of Israel. We need to broaden our view. We need to broaden our theological understanding. We need to understand that salvation is of the Jews. Jeremiah chapter 31, a week or two ago we went over it, that God would create a new covenant for the Jews, for Israel. And I'm so glad that I am a Christian. I'm so glad, and I'm sure many of you could say listening that, hey, we're glad that Jesus died for us. But that new covenant was for the Jews first, and then for the Gentiles. But let's move on. Matthew chapter 25. And I've said this many times. We have four Gospels. Matthew presents him as a king coming to his kingdom to take account. Mark shows Christ as a servant. Luke shows him as a man, 100% man, but empowered by the Spirit of God. And John portrays Christ as God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And he called his servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. I remember that. The parable of the talents. That's right. He gave 5 talents to one, to another 2, and then to another guy, another servant, he gave 1. And then he left. He left the country. He straightway took his journey, it says in verse 15. And he stayed away for some period of time, 6 months, 6 years, I have no idea. But he came back to the kingdom, and I'm jumping gears, I understand. And he says, okay, what have you accomplished? The guy with 5 talents said, well, I worked hard and here's 5 more. The guy that he was only entrusted with 2, he said, I got 2 more. But the guy that only had 1, and it's not the fact that he had 1 or 101, but it's what he did with it. He buried his talent, dug a hole, put his talent in and covered it up. And when the master returned, he said, let me go dig that thing up again. Look, that's what you gave me and I'm giving it back. But Jesus said, and again, I'm interpreting the parable. In verse 26, and his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. You knew. And here I am, and what have you got to show for yourself? Nothing. Look, at least you could have made a deposit at the bank and gotten your 2 or 3% interest. And at least you could say, well, look, I got some interest. And that would have been enough. But you buried it. You didn't do anything with it. You've got the kingdom. You've got the 10 commandments. You've got justification by faith that Abraham showed us. You've got Genesis 3, verse 15, the promise of the Messiah. You've got the entire Old Testament telling you of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and all the things that he would do. You've got all these promises, but you really didn't do anything with it. You didn't evangelize the world. Oh, I know Solomon, he had to do with the Queen of Sheba and Hiram up in Tyre. There was some involvement, but the Jews didn't evangelize the world. Oh, and when God sent prophets to say, hey, you're doing wrong, they stoned the prophets. They killed them left and right. Israel went into idolatry. You remember the commandment, I'm the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven images, etc. Don't bow down to them. Don't make any golden calves, Aaron. But every time God turned his back, they were setting up another idol. They sacrificed their children to Molech. They worshipped Baal. They did all of these things again and again and again. They didn't want to follow God. Their heart was not right before God. And the Jews lost the kingdom. You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I would reap where I didn't sow. You knew that I would gather where I did not straw. At least you could have put the money in the bank. But you didn't. And he said, cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Jews lost their kingdom. For 2,000 years they've been wanderers. and hated everywhere they went. We know about the Holocaust. Honestly, that was a big event, but you can go all through history and see that they were persecuted. The little saying goes, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He discovered America in 1942. But Spain ejected the Jews, threw them out of Spain in 1942. And I said earlier that this is a hard message. It's very hard. And the Jews have suffered for 2,000 years. But point six in my sermon. Jesus was crucified by the leaders of Israel, but God meant it for good. First off, that the message of salvation is preached to the whole world. That's a wonderful thing. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Yes, the Jews rejected Christ, had him nailed to the cross. But you see, 3 days later, he rose again. And in the epistles, Jesus is called the head of the church. And the church, the whole kingdom, is built on the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Yeah, they said, "Crucify him." And I understand that. And they've suffered for 2,000 years. But it was God's doing that Jesus went to the cross, so that he could fulfill Isaiah 53 and ransom the entire world from sin. That whosoever believes on Jesus Christ would not perish, but could have everlasting life. And the call is, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.